City Limits is a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media and is made possible thanks to generous grant support from the Central New York Community Foundation and the John Ben Snow Memorial Trust, and listeners like you. To support the project, visit the City Limits About page at citylimitsproject.org.
I fit the description, as do many of the people I represent, and that description is Black.
At home and around the country, voices are crying out.
No justice! No justice!
Some are looking for answers.
So I tell you, accountability is necessary.
Others are pleading for change.
I'm not seeing yet a lot of coordination to get the work that needs to be done, done.
It's time to examine the harmful impacts of structural racism on society and shine a light on the social and cultural movements focused on social justice.
I am afraid for Black people. I am afraid for poor people. I am afraid for disabled people. I am afraid for trans people. And the list goes on.
This is City Limits, Winds of Change.
Welcome to City Limits. I'm Joe Lee. The previous episode of City Limits examined efforts in the Syracuse community to use art to heal the emotional wounds created by instances of racial injustice, police brutality, and social unrest. Artists and arts organizations alike using their work and influence in the community to amplify the message of the racial justice movement, spark dialogue around critical issues of fairness, equal access, and opportunity. In that episode, you heard voices of members of the Black Artist Collective, an organized group of Black artists dedicated to enhancing the growth and endurance of all Black arts. Representatives of the group sat with me to explore the intersection of art and activism and their fight to create a permanent seat at the table. Welcome to City Limits. I'm Joe Lee. I'm joined today by members of the Black Artist Collective, who is sponsoring the Say Their Names Memorial, which will honor and uplift the names of Black and brown lives lost to racism, injustice, and senseless police violence in Syracuse, New York. So we're here to chat about art and racial justice. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Why don't we go around the table, introduce yourselves, and talk briefly about your art, if you're an artist, or what part of the movement you play, if you are an organizer.
Hi, my name is Kiana Williams, and I've been a supporter and advocate for the arts for quite some time, starting off with my internship at the Community Folk Arts Center a long time ago. I don't really consider myself a formal artist, but more of a dabbler. I work with a lot of different mediums, and I think the power of art to heal is one of the most significant things that I've always wanted to elevate and support, especially in the Syracuse community.
What's your favorite dabble?
I would have to say I love clay and fiber art. Those are the things that I work with.
Very cool. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Alice Queen Olam. I am a multidisciplinary artist whose artistry is rooted in social justice. I'm also a core member of the Black Lives Matter movement here in Syracuse. And just art has always been a part of my life. I'm predominantly a singer, but as I've progressed through life, my short 24 years of life, I've done a bunch of other things, and I've been looking at different mediums to basically get through life as a Black woman, get through life as an African woman, get through life to just find ways to heal through art and tell stories through art.
My name is Chayla Surratt, and my background primarily is in theater, and I'm also a part of the activist movement here. It's interesting. I think that art is intervention, art is interruption, art is advocacy, and I am definitely a proponent of art being a conduit in which we can have some very difficult and important conversations. And in the spaces that I'm in, I push that a bit.
So in your creation, whether it's in your songwriting, in your clay, in your acting?
It primarily was in theater, but most of my work now has been in marketing and public relations.
Okay. How are you attempting to reflect what's going on today, or are you?
I'm a storyteller, so it's really not as much as I am an actress and I am a dancer and a singer, it's really not having to act. It's just telling my story through the song. There's no agenda behind it. There's no anything behind it. It's really telling people who I am, what I experience as a Black woman, as an African woman, and just hoping that somebody out there is listening and being very particular about what they're taking away. It's not just a storybook, but it is a life. Mm-hmm. And there are so many different implications that are in it, and I hope people will take that from what I'm saying or singing.
And I'll say, you know, my job over the years has been to see artists like Alice and be able to promote them. Because unfortunately, the history in arts is that unfortunately, the African, the Black and brown diaspora has not had people who are advocating and shining a light on the many talents that our community has.
Yeah, to echo what Shayla has said, much of my work in the arts community over the years has also been to elevate and promote artists like Alice and get them into venues and spaces where they haven't had that space to come and tell the story. So that's largely what I've dedicated my time to, both as an educator and someone who supports the arts.
So tell us a little bit about the Black Art or Black Artists Collective, what it is, what's the mission?
The mission is advocacy. The mission is visibility. The mission is policy driven. The mission is financial driven, because I'll return to the point I made before, is that unfortunately, though we have a lot of conversation about revitalization in our city and advocacy for different groups, we find that Black and brown artists are often absent. So we are demanding a seat at the table, but we're doing that collectively.
So give me an example.
I would say that this event that we're holding is an example, and that we decided together that this is something that's important to do, and that we wanted to make sure that we had all different artists, poets, singers, people who are doing social justice work who are going to be present and speaking to the issues that are happening in our community.
And you're talking about the Say Their Names Memorial. Let's talk a little bit about that. What are you hoping to accomplish? What can people expect when they attend? Is this in person or is this virtual?
This is in person. Of course, we're following a strict COVID plan, mask up, social distancing. We're making sure that people are safe. That's our very first priority. What we do hope is that collectively there's been a lot of trauma and we haven't had the space. We've seen the rallies, we've seen the marches, but we haven't had a space to grieve together and to heal together and create art together and channel that energy also into creating that healing. So that's really what we hope to get out of this first event that we are coordinating.
And I'd like to tack on to that and saying that, as I said, part of our initiative is policy driven. And then speaking with Renette Relaford from the CRB, the Citizens Review Board, it came to our attention that we have not collected names. We do not know here who are the people who have been affected, what Black and brown bodies have been affected by police brutality and state-sanctioned violence. And in collecting those names, we can then help her identify policies, identify things that the police are doing in terms of use of force or training, things that need to be changed so that we are not losing lives.
Now, you're part of the integral part of the Black Lives Movement in Syracuse. Mm-hmm. How do you see the two conflated?
They are one and the same. Black Lives Matter, we are... As much as we are reactionary, we are also proactive. And I think around the nation, because we've had all of these killings and all of this trauma that has been here, we have been trauma-informed. We have been moving through trauma and not being very adamant about our healing and our grief process, because every time we're ready to grieve, there's something else mm-hmm. to come back and fight for. So I think this space right here is it's a Black Lives Matter space. Black Lives Matter because we should be able to look at things and say, wow, let's grieve about this for a moment before running again and marching and protesting and being in front of people and doing all of these things. Find ways to come together and use art and use whatever medium that we have and we share to share grief, to share healing. We call this a guided healing because it is a guided healing. We have poets that are going to be speaking, saying things that most people are not able to say out loud. They've been feeling it, but they don't know how to say it. We have singers that are able to touch to the emotions. We have policymakers. We have activists that are able to keep informing the public about what they're doing, but also giving them a space to just take a breath, cry, and just be with people. And, you know, as we are saying their names of people that died, we should also look around and hold the hands of people that are still here saying, I love you and mm-hmm. I care for you. And we are going to be here together, and I'm going to fight for you alive, and I'm going to fight for you while you're still here and you're breathing. So this is the space that we're going to create for that.
And do you think an artist can be an appropriate agent for change?
Yes, because I am one. Mm-hmm. My voice is not just for singing and entertainment. I am not a Jim Crow. I am a Black woman who is navigating the world. I am an artist who is navigating the world, and that is what my art is rooted in. It is rooted in social justice, and I'm using my voice for people who don't watch the news or people who don't want to listen to people say things about Black Lives Matter. I can sing a story. And then you're like, wow, is that really what it is? Let me go figure out. Let me go see what Black Lives Matter is about. Let me go see what we're fighting for.
Touching on something that Alice said before, which is storytelling and crafting our own narrative. I think that we have seen across this nation when it comes to Black lives, when we even saw recently what happened with Breonna Taylor, that there are lies. There are disruptions of narrative that are happening that have nothing to do with us. And so I think that by owning the space and crafting a narrative that's our own, that is also where the power is as well.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. So your perceptions of how the media, whether it's local or national, is covering what's happening in our nation, are obviously you're not satisfied with that narrative. How do you see artists, Black artists, working to change that narrative?
Well, they're using their talents and their gifts and their tools to inspire people, to educate them, and to amplify our voices as people of the Black and brown community that we're in. I think that it's powerful, and we need that space, and we need to reclaim that space and not let someone else tell that story for us. Because as Chayla mentioned, there's a lot of misrepresentation, there's a lot of fallacy, and we need to counterbalance that.
How satisfied are you with how things are progressing here in Syracuse? I mean, we see what's happening in the nation. There's a lot of smiles going around. So you guys are chomping at the bit to talk about this one. How satisfied are you?
Dissatisfied.
Very dissatisfied.
Very dissatisfied.
Speak on it.
Where to begin?
Oh.
I mean, I think we since June, since over 2,000 people gathered in front of City Hall and said, this is unacceptable. It's unacceptable what's happening in our nation. It's unacceptable what's happening in our state, what's happening in our city. And we put forth 9 points, clear points. And to date, I do not believe that we have been satisfied with the response that we have gotten from City Hall, from our common counselors, from any of our representatives that does not speak to the issue that we are not disposable. Mm-hmm. We are human beings, and we have the right to be able to move through this world and not fear that we'll be harmed by people who we pay taxes to.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing for me is that Black Lives Matter has become more of a hashtag and a saying and not just and not an action. So I'm going to say with the mayor, he loves to tweet out and say Black Lives Matter to me. If Black Lives really does matter to you, Mr. Mayor, the 9 demands are there. And this is a collective of activists who have come together to put forth these 9 demands. We are on meetings every single week talking about these demands, trying to tell them that this is how you will show us that Black lives will matter. It's not enough to put paint on the floors and write out Black Lives Matter, because in the next week, your Syracuse Police Department is going to kill another Black person on those same streets. So it's not enough to just paint it on the floor. You have to push policy. You have to make sure that our Black Lives Matter. And it'll happen first through these 9 demands and then taking more initiative with the office that you hold to make sure that Black Lives Matter.
So you think the powers that be are trying to run out the clock?
Absolutely. I mean, we recently had a meeting with the Know Your Rights proposal policy, and we were told that on this particular date, having, you know, Ronnie White, the legal counsel, was going to look at that policy, and they were going to come back with an answer. They were going to vote. So community members rallied. We contacted them. We said what our stance was regarding it. We get on the call, and it's been pushed off. Now, this is a legislation that's been on their table for a year.
Over a year, actually.
Thank you very much.
A year and a half.
So what does that say? When we say Black Lives Matter again, it seems that it only matters. There just seems to be too many caveats as to getting justice.
And so with the event that you're putting on, the work that you're doing, working with other Black artists, do you see yourselves using art and your art as a tool to help sustain the movement so that it does not peter out? I mean, it seems like in order to sustain something like that, to have it have longevity, to have it actually move forward, that there's got to be a push from all fronts.
Absolutely.
So that it we prevent it from becoming just sort of a moment in time, but it actually becomes a sustained movement. Do you see the work that you're doing playing a role in helping to sustain that effort?
Absolutely. I think we're seizing on the momentum. But this Black Artist Collective is something that, especially in our Syracuse community, needed to happen. Firstly, we don't have something that exists like that here that is not tethered to a white institution. And so being able to create something like that and use it, I believe that there is longevity in it. And as you said and pointed out, all fronts, so Black Lives Matter supporting that, all the other organizations that we're partnering with for this event supporting us and keeping it going, in that it's not just a moment in time. I don't see that as a moment in time. I see that as something laying the foundation for future generation of artists who are going to need that support, both economically and as a way to come out and emerge with their work.
And where do you get your inspiration and motivation to keep pushing?
Oh, so many.
I mean, I would say I'm in the presence of some of them, mm-hmm. And there are others outside of this room. I mean, I've been fortunate to grow up in this community where I can say the names of David McDonald and Jackie Warren Moore and Cheryl Wilkins Mitchell and,
yes.
You know, AXO, which was part of NAACP, which were people who fortified me. And so I feel like my job is now to then show up for other generations, for people who have not had access, and to make sure that, as Kiana said, we have this legacy growth.
Everybody Black, really. I think people in my generation, I'm very inspired by, especially Black creatives here in Syracuse. Finding them is not hard, but once you are in their presence and you see that we all have the same motive and we're trying to move forward with our artistry and make a bigger, put a bigger footprint here in Syracuse and then move out into the world, that's just inspiring. And the fact that we can take anything and make it into art is also what's very inspiring. And the fact that this movement is so, it's just so, I don't even know the words. Sorry, we're on radio. I can't really the fact that it's just, it hits us so hard, and we recognize that it's not just about us and it's not just about people out there like Breonna Taylor or George Floyd. It's about people in the community, and it could be people in our community. We are fighting so hard, and we're using all platforms. We're using our artistry and visual arts. We're using dancing. We're using our monologues and poetry, and all of that coming together becomes one voice, and it's just so beautiful once it all comes together. So that's what inspires me.
So in terms of building allies and influencing others, so by holding events like what you're holding, I would imagine that the church, figuratively, you're going to pull in a lot of the choir, right? So how do you hope to influence others who need influencing, whose minds need changing?
Well, we're going to have to take this show on the road. I mean, we are extremely appreciative to the church in offering us a space when we did not have a home briefly. But the realities are, as you said, is that we are going to be speaking to the choir of people who already are like-minded. So that means that we're going to have to go and be uncomfortable. We're going to have to go and make other people uncomfortable and press them into having these conversations about equity and justice and what that looks like, and ask them how are they complicit, and to ask them to shift.
That's what art does.
Yes.
Thank you, ladies, for coming in to talk with us.
Thank you for having us.
For City Limits, Winds of Change, I'm Joe Lee.
Thanks for listening to City Limits, a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media. Find more from this series at citylimitsproject.org and subscribe in Apple Podcasts for automatic delivery of new episodes.